This is Growing the Valley, a podcast by the University of California, Agriculture and Natural Resources. I'm one of your hosts, Luke Melliron, Farm Advisor for Butte, Tehama, and Glenn Counties.
I'm your other host, Phoebe Gordon, Orchard Farm Advisor for Madera and Merced Counties.
I did a phone interview with David Haviland, IPM advisor for Kern County, on his work looking at using yellow sticky cards to measure thrips populations in orchards to help growers and PCAs decide whether or not you need to make a mite pesticide application. Since the interview was over the phone, the audio quality is a little bit poor, so I do apologize for that.
So you've been using cards, right, to start monitoring for thrips, and are you trying to generate those as treatment decisions for whether or not to treat for mites?
Yeah, so we're getting there.
Okay.
So, you know, for a decade, we've been out doing miticide trials and talked to lots and lots of pest control advisors. And, you know, we've known that six spotted thrips is out there. We just don't see them when you're doing leaf samples. Or, you know, you'll see one here, one there. But, you know, you'll get pest control advisors say things like, there used to be tons of mites and lots of eggs, but then, you know, over the next week or so, the eggs just all disappeared. And then the week after that, the mites were all gone. You hear that story over and over and over again. And we would see six spotted thrips out there. We knew it was doing something, but it was hard to know exactly how important it was. And then we started using these yellow sticky traps. They've been used in lots of crops for thrips, usually for thrips that are pests. But in this case, we started using them, and all of a sudden, it's just like this, you know, kind of an aha moment where you put these cards out and you come back for a week and there's just hundreds of thrips on there. And it's just easy to do. You know, you put a card anywhere, you've got a navel orangeworm trap, one per 20, even one per 40 acres. And you come back 1 week later, the next time you're going to sample for mites, and just take a look. And, you know, whether you've got zero or one or, you know, sometimes hundreds or sometimes 1,000, that can really give you a quick indicator on your most important predator, whether it's there or not, and then how many are there. You can also watch from week to week how the population changes. You know, if you had 5 last week and 20 this week, that's indicative of what you're going to see next week.
So do you have treatment guidelines then for when to decide whether or not you have a large enough thrips population to avoid a treatment or to, you know, warrant a treatment for mites?
Yeah, so it's like I said, we're getting there. And we've put out what we would call tentative thresholds. Mm-hmm. When we crunch all the numbers and all the math from, you know, for all the years we've done, if you find any thrips at all in that April or May time period, when you might call, you know, the preventative miticide treatment timing, any thrips at all on a card is enough. During that time period, the mites don't increase very quickly, and any thrips will quickly overtake that mite population, and you'll be good till hull split. And that's kind of what we're seeing in most fields, where people just aren't really treating in May anymore because there isn't the need.
Okay.
Again, not because the mites aren't there, but it's because the mites that are there are getting eaten up. And then once you get to hull split, things change a little bit because now the mites are in their, you know, perfect conditions. It's hot, it's dusty, the plant is stressed, and so on. In that case, we've shown that if you have 3 thrips on a card, this is the 4x6 size card, 3 thrips over a 1 week period, that you're essentially going to stay even. You know, on average, mites will neither go up or go down. They'll just kind of be the same 7 days later. So that's kind of a good, you know, a good marker there. And then if you have 6 in a week, you know, it's 90, the exact number, but it's in the, you know, 98%+ range that within 14 days mites will be gone. So we'd call it the walk away threshold, if you want to call it that, 6 per week. And, you know, just sort of tentative guidelines, we're validating that. Of course, when you've got data like that, you want to get data from several years, but also lots of orchards. You know, we don't want to present a guideline for Kern County and then find out that it should be a totally different number up in, you know, the Sacramento Valley. Mm-hmm. So we're in that validation process right now. Once we get, you know, sort of statewide correlations, We'll come up with more distinct numbers, maybe even different numbers for different part of the state, and get that published and make it a more official guideline.
Sure. With a quick turnaround, though, it sounds like, you know, this is something that a grower or PCA could play around with themselves, right? They could put out some cards, count the number of thrips, come back a week later and see what their mite populations look like. And if the mite populations are dropping in about a week, or you said it was a week, right? Or was it a little bit more?
Well, it's a classic predator-prey relationship.
Okay.
So, you know, for a couple of weeks, the mites get going, they start taking off. Well, once there's some food, the predators start showing up and they start having lots of food. You know, there's about a 2-week lag time there. But yeah, you know, the more food there is, the faster the thrips get going. And then, of course, after the mites crash, you know, the thrips numbers come back down.
Sure.
But yeah, a lot of pest control advisors are starting to use it just because it gives them a general feel for the biological control. And typical pest control advisor will go to a grower and say, you know, John, I walked your field this week. Here's how many mites I saw. You know, this is compared to what I saw the week before and the week before that. And, you know, based on how stressed the trees are or how hot it is or whether or not there's an opportunity for a miticide, you know, you kind of take all that into consideration when you're deciding whether or not a treatment's made. Well, that same pest control advisor that walks in with a card and just says, hey, and by the way, I'm seeing 3 times as many predatory thrips out there this week than I saw the week before. That would suggest that, you know, maybe we don't have to be aggressive. We can wait another week. Maybe we can wait a couple weeks. You know, it's just one more piece of information that helps somebody make that decision, particularly on a week when you're riding the fence. You know, if your trees are getting defoliated, hey, you know, not too necessary. Likewise, if there's no mites, no big deal. But there's always that magic week where you're just like, oh, do I need to treat? Do I not? You know, and you're trying to put every data piece together to make that decision. And having these cards, knowing what the good bugs are doing, just helps make that decision that much easier.
Have you been looking at cards in non-bearing orchards?
So we have not used them in non-bearing orchards, no.
Okay.
And they certainly could be used for that. The thrips are highly mobile, so they certainly do move into those young orchards. Mm-hmm. It's just mites behave very differently in non-bearing orchards than they do in bearing orchards. And you know, you can imagine the biological controls maybe not quite as established there as it is in an older orchard, but also the topic of stress. When you've got a mature tree with 2,500 or 3,000 pounds of nuts on it, and you're pulling back water on it to, you know, get ready for harvest, that really promotes the mites. Whereas in these younger trees, you know, you don't have that big stress of the crop. You do tend to be putting a good bit of water and fertilizer on these trees to get them up and get them going as quick as possible. But also you don't have really deep root systems. And so you can stress those trees. So yeah, it's more common there for the mites to show up in June, you know, earlier in the year, more common to need multiple miticide applications. Until they're bearing and you have a little more prediction of what's going on and a little more biocontrol established.
Is there anything that you wanted to add about the thrips yellow sticky card monitoring?
No, I think that's good. We're trying to get things wrapped up this next year and, you know, getting Jalindra's data into the models and Emily's data into the models and seeing what we can go from there.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for sitting down for an interview.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure.
Hi, listeners. Our podcast is coming up on its second birthday, and Luke and I are very interested in learning what you think about it and hearing any suggestions you may have so we can improve what we're doing. We have a survey up. Links are in the show notes and on the episode page. Participation is voluntary. Everything's anonymous, and you can stop taking the survey anytime. We are going to be sharing the results, probably in future episodes or scientific articles. Taking the survey would really help us, and thanks in advance.
Thanks for listening to Growing the Valley, a UCANR podcast. You can find out more about this episode at our website, growingthevalleypodcast.com.
We'd like to thank the Almond, Pistachio, Walnut, and Prune Boards for their support. We'd also like to thank my sister, Muriel Gordon, for writing and recording the theme music. Thank you.
Bye.